All right. Good morning and welcome to Web3 Wednesdays, where we chat through some of the complex and nuanced topics in crypto and Web3 at large so that you can stay ahead of the curve. So today I'm joined by Pedro Herrera, head of research over at DappRadar, a prominent dApp distribution store and data aggregator in the space with a prolific history of quant-heavy reports. Their recent games reports give some of the best consolidated overviews of the sector that we have to date and help shed a little bit of light on some of the macro trends that could underpin the next major movement in Web3. So Pedro's position at DappRadar, overseeing analytics and research, puts him in the perfect position to comment on that data, and we're keen to get his take on the matters. So Pedro, welcome to the show.
Hey Sam, thank you. Thanks for the invite. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, jumping right into it, can you first of all introduce yourself a little bit, explain a little bit about your work at DappRadar? You know, what kind of data do you guys collect, specifically, you know, with an eye towards gaming?
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I am the head of research and analytics at DappRadar, and you described it perfectly. We're at a dApp store trying to aggregate multiple on-chain metrics from right now almost 50 different networks. And we recently have a strong also appetite for gaming. We embrace and we understand that the industry is also shifting towards that direction. So we are already capturing that idea, and we are already shifting heavily into gaming. Each month, we produce gaming report in collaboration with the Blockchain Game Alliance. We're constantly reviewing the best way and the most transparent manner to show the most relevant Web3 gaming projects in the industry, and constantly innovating KPIs and trying to make the most sense of the market, which is constantly evolving, constantly adapting. So it's also a challenge there.
No, I think that's fair across the board. And what kind of data do you guys have access to? Do you just do on-chain data? Do games feed you API user data? What all do you aggregate?
So at the moment, yes, it's only on-chain data. And we talk about different blockchain verticals with different metrics. For example, if we take a look at decentralized finance, one of the most important indicators out there is the total value locked in smart contract protocols. And in the case of gaming, we focus a lot on the daily activity, so the number of wallets that connect daily to a blockchain game. And in that matter of fact, of course, all the NFT activity, all the NFT trading activity coming from these games, we're also capturing. And we are in a process of implementing and trying to bridge that gap from Web2 to Web3, because as you might know, there's a lot of games that while they implement Web3 technologies, they don't need to read a smart contract interaction, a wallet connected, right? So that's the part of the activity that it's still a challenge for us to get, and we're in constant talks with relevant teams out there in the industry to basically bridge that gap and be able to capture the full scope. Because as you mentioned, right now we're focused only on on-chain activity, but we're finding ways to capture the full scope, right?
I love that. And I actually want to dig in more on that later, too, because it's such an interesting problem, both for you and for games, you know, to deal with this kind of on-chain versus off-chain data aggregation. So, you know, one really high-level question. In your recent reports, the gaming reports in particular, obviously, some of your headline conclusions seem to be that gaming continues to grow as a portion of on-chain activity, and it continues to get larger and larger as a portion of, you know, practical blockchain applications. So what do you think is actually driving that trend? What do you think are the forces behind that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And actually, if we just see at the unique of active wallets, which is, again, the indicator to measure the retention and to measure the adoption of games, there is a slight decrease, but for a different reasons. Actually, we see it as a positive because there is a lot of games I'm going to name Splinterlands, for instance. They started to remove a lot of bot activity from the platform, which is healthy in the long run, right? Because you're incentivizing proper human interaction and human engagement. So there's that. And we also see what I call the exodus of talent from companies like Zynga, which were very successful building mobile games. But you also see that Square Enix is coming into Web3. And key people in different key players from the traditional gaming industry are converting themselves into Web3 advocates, and they're launching leading Web3 projects, which is super bullish to me.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that makes a lot of sense to kind of focus on where the talent is moving in the space, because it usually does then precede where most development will head. So I think that's smart to kind of keep an eye on where the big movers are actually dedicating corporate capital and talent.
That's correct. And it's not human capital only, but we also track the number of investments into gaming and metaverse-based projects, of course, only oriented towards blockchain, right? And that is also another positive indicator on that side, where the money flowing from VCs and private investors into metaverse and gaming projects is also at a very, very good level. In Q1 this year, we surpassed $750 million in investments, which is a vast improvement from the last quarter in 2022, when things were not so good on the macro and in any level. But that's also another positive indicator. So while the number of unique wallets connected to gaming might be, let's say, consolidated at around 800,000 daily gaming wallets, we see different success factors that will translate into long-term growth and long-term sustainability of this space, which is why we are very bullish and very expectating of what's going to be the next big wave in Web3 gaming.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And two things actually that you said in there, I think a lot of folks would be interested to hear. So first of all, you mentioned this 800,000 number, right? The number of wallets on, you know, in aggregate that may be connected to Web3 games.
Yeah.
I also like that you head on addressed, you know, the fact that there is a lot of, Sybil type botting, right? People have multiple accounts, people are engaging with these games with multiple wallets. And so the wallet number may imperfectly reflect reality ultimately, right? But I think, you know, a big question that goes around in these circles is, what is the true number of players? You know, what is an actual accurate count of how many people are actually playing Web3 games? And it's complicated, obviously, because you guys can only see on-chain interactions. You can't possibly be plugged into every single game yet, maybe in the future. But do you have a sense, you know, do you have a guesstimate, if you will, of how many actually active Web3 players you think that there are?
Yeah, and there's the other part of the story, right? So when a single player has multiple wallets and they are still registered as different wallets, which does not translate necessarily to different users. And an example of in a Wax-based game, one friend has like 8 or 10 different wallets to control their only gaming account, right? It's a very difficult question, but I would say I estimate there are at least 1 million Web3 gamers out there. This is the minimal. And this is probably considering weekly interaction. So you log at least one per week to play your game, which is, I think, a decent measure. And if we talk about daily Web3 gamers, we're probably looking at these hardcore gamers probably will be 300,000 to 400,000 daily Web3 gamers, and which
that's,
is
that's not a bad split actually. That's not a bad split between the people who know about it and interact with the games versus those who play daily. Like that's actually a pretty big portion then by that estimate.
I mean we're still at a very nascent stage, but there is also something really interesting happening. I think, and this is something I heard about in November at NFT NYC London from the head of gaming of Immutable X. He was talking about the third generation of blockchain game that it's coming, which is what we are currently seeing. So first generation was the very primitive games, not even just two clicks for mining and so on. There was not the fun factor. And we see the second generation of blockchain game, which gave birth to GameFi and Play to Earn, which is the Axie Infinities, which is the Alien Worlds. This type of games that already entail a certain level of entertainment, it's not an idle click game, but they are not yet there in the level of what we are used to play as gamers just for the matter of having fun. The main core and the main objective of those games was probably from the economical standpoint. And we're getting to that point in time where we are going to see a myriad of blockchain games and AAA games led by, again, these OGs on the traditional gaming industry, leading that forefront and leading that new paradigm where the fun is going to be at the primary factor of why you go connect and play the game. Yes, if you can get a very rare skin or you can farm $20 in tokens each time you connect, I mean, that's an added value, but you're playing that game because of the sole purpose of having fun, which is also very, very bullish in my perspective.
Agreed. And you know, as you guys watch all this data on chain, it may not be immediately apparent to the outside world that people are playing these newer games, right? Because a lot of them, as we know, will have Web 2.5 type login, or they may not interact with smart contracts directly in any way that maps one-to-one with user behavior. So from an analytics perspective, you know, what data do you feel that you guys are missing and you really want games to even maybe reach out and provide to you? You know, what do we need to be paying attention here for this kind of this wave three of Web3 gaming? What do you need on your side to communicate concisely to the public, like, look, this is a big deal, people are coming in, people are playing these games, what are you guys looking for?
So yeah, we're trying to think and circle the spin in different ways. One solution that we have been discussing for quite some time now, it's an SDK that allows us to track the web interactions on top of these on top of the wallet interactions. So that is, let's say, a viable midterm solution that we're already thinking about, and I'm pretty sure that's going to get some traction towards the second half of the year. But there is also the sense of collaboration and openness in the space that it's very relevant for Web3 in general. So how we can communicate with our gaming partners and ensure that we are capturing their information as should it be, making it also as transparent as possible. I think it's going to be a combination of both, like collaboration with their teams also to understand how their software works, how their games truly works, and also how these new infrastructure pieces will allow us to bridge that gap between off-chain and on-chain. I think it's going to be a combination of both. And I'm expecting things to speed a bit up towards the second half of this year in sense of more infrastructure, more technology that allow us not only to track properly the gaming activity, but also for the gamers. They will improve the user experience. They will build safer dApps. They will, and you get my point. So we're going to probably see a lot of these things happening this year already towards the last months.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, personally, as someone who also builds games, we would obviously want to cooperate with you guys, right? To push our stats into your, you know, aggregator so that people can find our game. And so I think it's a neat little synergistic relationship we'll see come to the fore over here, you know, the next 6 months or so. You know, thinking about that in a broader, more cooperative fashion around data, are there other data aggregators that you guys trust or that you personally trust, right? That you also look at to corroborate some of your data sets? Are there any other sources that we should be paying attention to out there?
Yeah, I mean, it also depends on what are you actively looking for. For example, we're about to announce a partnership with BitsCrunch, which is an Indian-based project. These guys do amazing things tracking NFTs. So since we need to know exactly what's happening on the NFT market for NFT gaming, that is something that we could rely upon. And talking about games in specific, there are a few platforms out there, like GameFi.org or like a Balthasar Marketplace, Footprint Analytics, also do something. But I think the gaming side of blockchain is actually where there is more potential and more opportunity. And that's exactly why we're focusing most of our efforts towards that side. We want to be the leaders, and we're positive and positive that we're going to be able to become that by bridging that gap because of all the collaborations and partnerships that we have. And also, for example, with the Blockchain Game Alliance, we have a very good relation. So we have constant talks of how to make the space better for not only people looking for games, which are the gamers, but also for game developers, for people that are new to game, which is the best game to get their hands into and not get overwhelmed by, okay, I need to connect wallet, I need to be safe, or and so on. So there's a lot of things to look into, and there are already some players out there. But I would say, talking about specifically gaming on-chain data, we're at a very, very nascent stage. And it's also because how convoluted this space, the gaming space, is. You need to be tracking on-chain, off-chain. Then I have met also with a couple of projects that they are tracking the social performance of gaming in general. They are capturing the small sphere of Web3 games. So that is also something that we could think about in the future. What's your activity in your Discord channel? What's your growth on Twitter and these social media that are also important for following the space in Twitch? How are you streaming your games and so on? And one last thing on this topic is DAOs are also going to become a vital part of the gaming ecosystem going forward.
Well, that's great to hear that. What's your take on it?
I mean, again, once again, another bullish sign of these projects are properly understanding what's needed. Like, we are going from an era that we are going to stop being clients for brands, and we are going to be part of their communities through blockchain technologies. Fortunately, we're in a good place to be. So these games are also capturing that mindset and translating it into decentralized autonomous applications, which for me is super cool. One example is, for example, Alien Worlds. Alien Worlds has one of the most active DAOs out there for a gaming project. And we're constantly, and we're already trying to identify what's really gaming activity, what's going to be DAO and governance activity. And that is also going to be a challenge, but also super interesting and insightful to really know what's and where this activity is coming from.
I love that take. Yeah, I mean, personally, you know, we have contributors who participate in a number of DAOs as well, and we're bullish on the space and, you know, decentralized governance as a whole. So I'm excited to hear that from your perspective, it also helps drive forward this gaming narrative. Pedro, one question that I always like to ask folks is, you know, kind of here at the end, you obviously have been working in the Web3 space for quite some time. You've seen the ups and the downs. Do you have any advice that you'd want to give out to, you know, folks who are looking to build their own thing or participate in a large organization, just people trying to get into Web3? What would you, you know, want to tell those folks?
Yeah, first of all, be safe, because it is a super risky space. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It's a risky space, but at the same time, it has a lot of potential. I could say it's Pandora's box. Try to understand the full potential of what an NFT brings, because it's just not a digital asset. It's about the ownership and the authenticity that you can prove in a digital world. So since the pandemic, it has become clear that we're going through a very digital world, where also peer-to-peer transacting is going to be something. So once you understand where we're moving and what do you have in hands with blockchain and NFT and all these technologies, you can make your own assumption and see how things are going. And I'm going just to lay down the basic example of Fortnite or CSGO is better, because we saw a CSGO skin sold yesterday for $500,000, right? And what happened if that guy that has just spent $500,000 shouts something harmful in the chat today while he's playing? He will be banned for the server, and very probably that skin is going to be lost forever. That's never going to happen in blockchain, because you are controller of your own assets. So that is advantage number one, not only for players, but only for gaming studios building their own gaming ecosystems. how you can open your gates of your world to new players, empowering creators, to me is fascinating. So I would say at least understand what's going on, paint your broader macro picture, zoom out, and understand what you have in mind and what you can achieve with this. Because what we have seen is just the tip of the iceberg. Not financial advice, but yeah, super bullish on the industry and super bullish on Web3 gaming in specific.
Pedro, I love how bullish you are on this direction, because I obviously share the conviction. And I do think that the Counter-Strike example yesterday, you know, of the $500,000 skin sold, where it's not even an NFT, it's not even, you know, like a properly movable asset into any server outside of, Counter-Strikes. I think it's a phenomenal example of the direction that digital assets are going and the appetite for things like this that could be there in the future. So Pedro, many, many thanks for coming on and chatting with the viewers about your guys' work. Obviously, everyone will be visiting DappRadar to make sure that they're up to date on the most recent metrics and checking out your gaming reports to see where those are going in the future. And we'd love to check back in and do an update every once in a while and hear where your guys' direction is. But thanks again for coming on.
Awesome. Anytime. We issue quarterly reports so we can do visit each quarter. So
I love it. All right. We'll see you, Pedro.
Bye-bye.